Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Right, love, and wellness.
As your tour guide each week, and I thank you for being with me tonight. I am so excited you chose to join us today. So let's get this party started. You know, as we come together each week, we take time to anchor ourselves in positive energy and affirmative reading. I welcome the awesome power of the Most High in my life. My mind, body, and emotions are healed. I honor the masculine qualities of all men. I heal all relationships with unconditional love. We each are part of the infinite one. In truth, there is no separation. We all are one. So our affirmation for this week is I love with complete abandon. Now we pause just for a moment to honor all those who have gone on before us, our ancestors. We call out their names silently and pay tribute to them with absolute love, respect, and honor. Today, as I honor all ancestors, I pause and remember they are our way shores, our truth. Without them, we would not exist. Ashe, ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. And the mission of life, love, and wellness is to uplift ourselves, to truly love ourselves, and being genuinely involved in our holistic wellness. Our topic today is June is Men's Health Awareness Month. Let's talk now. We are blessed to have my father, Mr. James Armstead, join us tonight. He is a mere young 94 years of age, always known for his sharp, debonair attire and his charismatic style. Also with us for this discussion is Mr. Walker Tisdale of Healthy Black Men, as he joins us for a lively and informative discussion on black men's health and the Twitter to Town Hall meeting that's coming up online in June. So our discussion will include mental health, fitness and nutrition, sexual health, and social justice. Mr. Tisdale is an activist and advocate for men's health with more than 20 years of experience. Audience, you are invited to join in this discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance and no judgment. You can call in and speak with me on 516-531-9819, and just press 1 to alert me you want to speak on air. So our disclaimer, the contents of this radio show are intended for information and educational purposes only. Nothing is meant to diagnose or prescribe treatment for any health condition. Our intention is to help guide you to live a healthy lifestyle and to prevent health problems. If you suspect you have a health problem, please, please, please seek qualified professionals to help you make the healthiest. And nothing is meant as a recommendation or endorsement of any specific tests, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on this show. We are providing information to you for your knowledge. Please use licensed physicians as needed. Any reliance on any information provided is solely at the user's risk. So you're listening to Life, Love, Wellness. the Sandy Rogers Show. We are going to get into such a wonderful, wonderful discussion concerning our men, the masculine energy, the strength of our existence, of humankind. And in this discussion, we open the floor up so that we can talk about the different aspects of holistic living, of all that is needed to live a healthy lifestyle. I want to start off with a short piece that I did to my dad a couple of years ago. So I just want to share that with the audience right quick. It's just a
my dad
to my
calls
father.
Me a tiger. I believe I'm a lion. Daddy, I know that your description of me as a tiger means a lot to you. But I say I'm a lion because you have taught me how to let my voice radiate out into the universe. And for this, I am eternally thankful for your love, your energy, your support, your encouragement throughout my life. Whenever a major event took place, you were always there by my side. I love you so much. And for that, I am a lion. I roar with the wisdom that you shared with me. I roar with the knowledge, the compassion, and the passion that I've witnessed and now embody in my own life. I trust you. I trust that you have done your best as a dad, as a father, in raising me. And for this, I will always love you. So when I say I roar that I am a lion, that is because I have learned from you, the King Lion, Mr. James Armstead, my hero, my dad.
Again, that's a tribute to my father, Mr. James Armstead. See, he's not on the line yet. I think he got a little concerned or nervous about how this radio show works. You know, for me, being his daughter, I understand because sometimes I'm intimidated by the use of some of social media and how all of this interact with one another. So he may be a little shy on getting on. So we're going to just kind of hold off and wait for him to either show up or we'll just continue on. I know with my dad, he's a very proud man. And one of the things that he has shared with me over the last few years since he has been officially diagnosed as being completely blind is that we should always take care of our eyesight and do whatever is needed to make sure that you preserve that because it's so precious. And once you lose your eyesight, there's no way of getting it back. And I know that that is a big issue for him. And so because you lose your independence when you lose your eyesight and you're dependent upon other people to help you to move around and to get around. A very active man, very, very, very active man. He's 94 years old. He does exercise every single day. He is so limber. You would not believe it. So hopefully he will join us a little bit later on, but if he doesn't, I will share, and my brother William is on the line, his eldest son, and he's on the line as well, and we will share with you some of the things that we've learned from our fathers through our coming up. And you know we come from good blood because of the work that we do out here in the universe. So I just really wanted him to share from his perspective. I know I can say what I feel like saying, and so could William. But we're going to move along. And our topic tonight is men's health And so, again, maybe my father will join us. And if he doesn't, that's okay. We've got some good, good energy to come along here. And we are we're going to
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
So, you know, from my work that I've done within the HIV and AIDS community, I know of the situations and the problems that we had with the medication AZT 20, 30 years ago when that was introduced. And what I realized was that that medicine, that medication, it cured the European American, but it killed the African American male. And that was always very puzzling to me. And so then as I would go to the doctor, I always wondered when they said, well, your blood pressure is too high or this is too low. I was wondering, so who are they using as a norm for these tests? And so my question, I would question every doctor I would go to. I would ask them, you know, so what's the baseline? What is your demographics for the test results? Who are you using to base what's normal and what's not? And, of course, you know, doctors are not accustomed to you asking them those type of questions. So I never got a response from any of the doctors that I would pose that question to. And then on 2 days ago, I got this email, and it's from Dr. Mercola again, M-E-R-C-O-L-A, and he says, there's so much confusion regarding health information in the media. How do you determine which advice to follow and what to take with a grain of salt? Dr. Malcolm Hendricks wrote the book, Doctoring Data, How to Sort Out Medical Advice from Medical Nonsense. And he goes on to talk about Dr. Hendricks' work, and he said, a basic tenet of science is that correlation does not imply or prove causation. This is one of Dr. Hendricks' 10 principles, common mistake to get excited about associations that in reality frequently amount to nothing. People will look at a group studying what they eat and do over many years. Then they say, oh, look, they drank red wine and they don't get heart disease. They immediately come out and say, red wine protects you against heart disease. There's a huge study in Austria of 150,000 people which showed that the higher your cholesterol level was, the longer you live. And the lower your cholesterol level was, the shorter you live. So these findings don't see the light of day. They are published but silent. If you are a man, it has virtually become gospel that drinking more than 21 units of alcohol a week is damaging to your health. But where did the evidence to support this well-known fact come from? The answer may surprise you, but according to Richard Smith, a former editor of the British Medical Journal, the level for safe drinking was plucked out of the air. The committee's epidemiologist had conceded that there was no data about safe limits available and that it's impossible to say what's safe and what isn't. Smith said that the drinking limits were not based on any firm evidence at all, but were an intelligent guess. According to Dr. Hendricks, the linear model for blood pressure, which states the higher your blood pressure is in a linear fashion, the greater your risk of dying, was also made up. Ditto for recommended cholesterol levels. So people believe it must be based on solid evidence and therefore true. Another way medical findings can be twisted is by focusing on the prevention of specific causes of death. For example, a study might claim that a cholesterol-lowering drug reduces the risk of dying from heart disease, but The people in the study may have died in greater numbers from other health problems instead. Naturally, you cannot die from heart disease if you die from another disease first. And then here's one last thing from this report, and I urge you guys just to start learning, start picking up these different articles and information that's out there that's available to us. Sun exposure. It says it also protects us against heart disease, improves the bone strength, reduces osteoporosis, and reduces your chance of developing multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease. Does it raise your risk of deadly skin cancer? If you get burned, yes, it may, but the overall health benefits far outweigh the potentiality elevated risk of melanoma. Part of the problem is you cannot see that which does not happen. One of the examples in the book is from the Farmingham study, and it was conducted over 70 years, seven decades, and it said that they raised their risk of dying of heart disease in the next 14 years by the actual lowering of their cholesterol. Only by 1 millimole per liter. So the falling cholesterol was determined to be the most important for heart disease mortality in that study. And so they count, in another one, he came to the conclusion that mammography probably does more harm than good. Again, these reports, or this was done by the Cochrane Collaboration, and it's a worldwide effort of researchers who have no industry connection. They collaborate to review and evaluate available evidence on any given topic and then come to a conclusion. So this is from unbiased researchers, and that's what they came up with. So you have the right to know this information. A lot of what's going on in the United States, it's not including some of the independent research that are done in other areas, and they are more open with the information that they have. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Walker Tisdale. Walker Tisdale III is Executive Director of HealthyBlackMen.org, the only dedicated, regularly updated health and lifestyle website for black males. Mr. Tisdale is also the founder and executive director of the Health Institute for Men, an Atlanta-based men's health promotion nonprofit. He holds dual graduate degrees in public health and social work and is a subject matter expert on African-American male health, health disparities, and social determinants of health. Prior to his current work, Mr. Tisdale successfully worked for more than 18 years combined at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Chicago Department of Public Health, the Alzheimer's Association, the American Red Cross, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He is an avid swimmer and lives here in Metro Atlanta. Welcome, Mr. Tisdale, to the line.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so interested in learning what you have and what you've come up with your organization and those things that that's going to take place next month during Men's Health Month.
Absolutely. Next month, June, is Men's Health Awareness Month. As you know, and it's also a time to really focus on those conditions and ailments that traditionally, you know, we don't give a lot of time and attention to, and to raise awareness with men of all ages on ways to better take care of themselves and to educate themselves, as well as to seek treatment and care for those conditions that need attention quickly. And one of the things that we do through our HealthyBlackMen.org site is that we are very proactive in pushing out information. I heard you talking earlier about different studies and different opportunities to learn more information, and information is power, and health information is definitely power. And so we're going to be hosting a series of Twitter chats in June. Each Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be hosting two-hour conversations. We're calling them critical conversations around different areas of health targeting Black men's health. And so that's our hashtag, hashtag Black Men's Health. And we'll be bringing together subject matter experts from around the country, physicians, psychologists, counselors, health educators, podiatrists, pharmacists, social workers, organizations that target men and men of color who for care services. We invited them to participate. And so last year we were very successful and had over 150,000 people who participated in the chat. And so this year we're hoping to reach just as many.
That's excellent. So what's the state of Black men's health nationally and in Georgia today?
Well, nationally, there's still work to do. You know, one of the things that I'd like to bring attention to when we're talking about the state of health in general is that we are one of the few industrialized nations that just got around to having universal health care, also known as the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Before that, the number one reason for bankruptcy and for exacerbating illness was lack of health care in this country. And so the fact that 20-plus million people are expected to have health care coverage by the end of next year, that's an amazing thing. So people who didn't have health care coverage before were just going into the emergency room. So I think the state of health specifically for Black men, because Black men are overrepresented in health disparities, it just got a little bit better because of the health care coverage. So that's one. But there are still some fights to be fought. African-American males are still overrepresented. When you think about African-Americans in general represent about 13.2% of the U.S. population, and African-American males or Black males represent about 6.8% of that 13%. And still we are overrepresented when it comes to HIV and AIDS, when it comes to prostate cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, when it comes to homicide, and even when it comes to other infectious diseases. Those are some, and especially heart disease. I can't forget heart disease and prostate cancer. So there's still a lot of work to be done in those areas, but having health care coverage is definitely a step in the right direction. Locally here in Georgia, there's also work to be done. You know, the South is a great place to live because of the weather is conducive to more outside activity, and outside activity is really good for getting the heart rate up and walking, because you can take advantage of it more so than if you lived in one of the northern winter-heavy climates, right, like Chicago or Philadelphia or Michigan. The other thing is that if I'm just speaking about Metro Atlanta, you know, we have a lot of cars here. There's not a lot of walkable spaces here. You have to really go somewhere to walk unless you live in a neighborhood that's conducive for that. So just kind of natural opportunities for people to get out and go and stretch their legs and to walk or naturally to go and to access, you know, different fruits and vegetables that are cost-efficient in their neighborhoods, you know, depending on where you live. Those are still some challenges to be met. And unfortunately, you know, we just had a report that was released a couple of months ago from the Centers for Disease Control, that the Southeast, specifically here in Georgia where we are, is still reeling from new HIV infection cases. So we have incidence of HIV is up. We have syphilis cases are up. And in some zip codes in Metro Atlanta, Hepatitis is up, hepatitis C specifically. And so there's still some work to be done locally as well, too. And that's one of the reasons why I launched Health Institute for Men, because just as important it is to educate and give people information, it's so important to have boots on the ground when it comes to really fighting the war against health disparities. And if you can believe, there's ironically, with a place like Metro Atlanta that is so densely populated with an African-American middle class, we really don't have a lot of nonprofit charities that focus their attention on African-American males. And so we have a disproportionate number of African-American males and females that are homeless, that are incarcerated and addicted to substances, illegal substances, that are also managing without health care coverage and are dealing with different infections who may not have the health care coverage in order to get treatment. So there's still a lot of work to do.
So do you think that's why there continues to be health disparities in black men's health with heart disease and those others that you mentioned, HIV, prostate cancer, homicide? Do you think it's lack of knowledge? Do you think that the information doesn't get to the people? I know you mentioned the health care itself, but do you think that not having these type of conversations with individuals, that this is a part of that as well? Or what do you think contributes to the health disparities?
You know, I think that one of the things that is a big I guess if I had to put my finger on it, and this is really from looking at a lot of research data and just kind of taking in from where I sit, you know, we spend a lot of time, a lot of money in this country on health care and on preventive care. But it's only really recent, when you think about the history of the United States, that we even started to capture data about health disparities, really just since the late 60s, early 70s, that we have data that goes back that's really relevant enough that says where health disparities are. Prior to Jim Crow and even going back to slavery, we know that the health conditions of the black family and of the black population was substandard to that of the white population. And obviously, you know, you don't need to justify or rationale. You know why. So that being said, it's kind of endemic in our country that people of color have always had substandard care when the standard of care has always been for people of European descent. And that's also true for Native Americans, and that's also true for new immigrants. It only you start to see those disparities kind of disappear a little bit or come together and lessen in the 1970s, 80s. And that's where I think the United States was really on a global stage with other industrialized countries, and the World Health Organization really took the United States to task. This is probably a lot more in-the-weeds information than people care to know, but took the United States to task for having such a huge budget when it comes to health and health care, but having such disparities that were on par for Middle Eastern countries. And so the United States put a lot of money and infrastructure in that. And you saw a lot of budgets for the CDC, for the Department of Health and Human Services, and a lot more infrastructure in local health departments. So by the time the 80s came around, unfortunately, we also saw an increase in crack cocaine addiction, HIV and AIDS, homicide, gun violence. And so there was a real battle for health disparity topics that tended to really focus on black males and adolescent and younger black males, and as a result, higher incarceration rates. So at the time that the United States was putting more infrastructure and money into fighting health disparities, we had this kind of perfect storm of crack cocaine, HIV, gun violence, and mass incarceration that also was on the other side of that fight. So today, in 2015, in the 21st century, there's still a great deal of work to be done, but we started late. It's like you get to the ball game and there's 9 innings, and you let the first team go to bat without anybody on the field, and they're up by 35-0, and you're in the 7th inning, and now we're trying to catch up.
Right. So, but we know that the drugs were basically placed into our neighborhoods because we had no control over how that all took place. And so I'm really wanting to share some really deep information with the callers or the listeners on the show tonight as to what they can do to either help themselves or educate others about things that can be done, ways that they can take in order to improve or to prevent these health challenges for them to even have to deal with them. So now I do understand that, you know, we in the poor neighborhoods, be them whatever color that's in the neighborhood, in the poor neighborhoods, the opportunity to buy fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and not be overrun with fast foods and the that type of food that's available, do you see where that fits into the rising health issues that Black men face? Have any thoughts as to how that affects the Black men and their families, the lack of decent food to eat?
Well, they're policy threats, just like there are individual threats, and then there are what I call structural, that really go to undermine the health of not just Black men and Black families, but also the Black population overall. And one of them, you can really date back again towards the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, to where the policies changed, specifically in the 1970s, early 70s, the policies changed around welfare recipients. In order to receive welfare, that mothers who went to get on assistance could not have a man in the home. And that, or they were deemed ineligible. And for some reason, our country, that was a value statement, right? So even though you could have a man in the home who was out looking for work and doing everything that they could to provide for the family, if they couldn't make ends meet and had to go on public assistance, then oftentimes the requirement was that the man had to leave the home, and you had a lot of families who had to make a decision about feeding underage children or having the man to leave the home. And so when you have a requirement like that, to where the government is going to assist them to feed your family, but you can't be there, they have effectively disenfranchised the Black family. And that went on for decades. I'm sorry?
Not that true. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. And so that went on for decades. And if you think about it, no other industrialized country really does it that way. You know, they try and work with the entire family. They don't say that you must get rid of one of the adults in the house if you want us to come in to help, because not only does it destabilize the household, but it leaves a lot of houses vulnerable with a mother and young children in the home. And it effectively sends a subliminal message that the government is providing for the family in a way that the husband cannot. And that sends a very nasty subliminal message to not only the head of household, the mother in that case, but also the children who grow up and see this. And that's when, again, you see a lot of single-parent households kind of rise up out of this necessity. And basically, it was a consequence of high unemployment, of jobs not being available at that time. And we see this cycle and cycle again, to where whenever there is a high unemployment rate, the unemployment rate in the black community is always like 5 to 6 points higher, right? And we never really adjust for that. We never really look at how we can address that, not as a policy matter or and not as a structural matter. So the people who are from the federal government, from the Department of Health and Human Services, when they look at, you know, the Department of Labor, employment and unemployment rates in this country, you know, there's not a lot that has been done successfully to really close that gap between, quote-unquote, you know, unemployment rate being 8% in the general population and then it being 14% in the black population. And so that's what I call a policy threat. That's kind of a – we allow that to continue on, and it really only hurts a certain segment of the population. And structurally, I think the same way when it comes to – we have a lot of wealth in this country, and our budget, meaning the national budget, just like your household budget, is a reflection of your values, right? So if you make $40,000 a year and you're bringing home, let's say, $1,500, $2,000 a month after taxes, you have money to spend on your utilities, mortgage or rent, clothes for the kids. You may go to church and tithe. You may decide to give to a charity, food on the table. And some people would say, okay, I'm taking care of all the necessity things. Some people would say, you know, I'm going to buy me a little drink. I'm going to buy me some cigarettes. I'm going to go and take me a weekend trip. I'm going to buy me some cool outfits to go to the club. And that will be a reflection of values. Well, the same thing at the federal level. Whatever they spend money on is a reflection of values. It's just on a bigger scale. So when they decide that they're going to build more prisons, but they're going to close down schools or they're going to eliminate jobs, but they're not going to spend money on getting people back to work or they're not going to spend money on getting people off of welfare, that's a reflection of values too. And so we have to really look at who we elect and to represent us. And so that's kind of how it's a structural issue as well too. You can see the same thing being played out today. Under President Obama, obviously, the Affordable Care Act, which is not perfect, but basically he's trying to increase health care coverage for people who didn't have it. That's a value. That's what he believes that a wealthy country like the United States can afford to cover its people. Now,
right.
People who are trying to repeal it and to always go to the Supreme Court, they believe – you know what, we'd rather spend money on a war or we'd rather spend money on sending people, building more prisons. We don't want to spend money on covering people for health care. Well, that's a value too. And
right.
And so the thing is, like I said, it's on a bigger scale, but they're a reflection of value systems.
Well, thank you, Walker. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to continue this discussion on Men's Health Awareness Month. And we're going to talk some about mental health and fitness and nutrition, sexual health and social justice when we return from our short break. This is Sandy Rogers with the Life, Love, Wellness Show, and our guest today is Mr. Walker Tisdale of Healthy Black Men. We will return after this quick break.
Like a bass drum. This is
impacts on your health that seems to, we're talking about scientists are learning more and more about the impact that stress plays on your health. Some of the physical issues and symptoms that that goes along with that, with the stress, is balding, losing your hair, dental problems, teeth and gum issues, sweatiness, headaches, obesity, ADHD, skin problems, and asthma are all exacerbated by your stress levels. So, Walker, what I was asking, you talked earlier about the rising numbers of HIV-infected men in our community. What, in your opinion, is the most effective way to address the rising HIV numbers among our young black men?
You know, we live in an age now to where sexual contact happens pretty quickly than maybe it traditionally did, 30, 40 years ago. And so today, everyone must be hyper-vigilant and really be proactive to make decisions to protect themselves. You cannot really put your trust in another partner, whether you've known them for 15 minutes or for 15 years, that they are going to look out for you and protect you. I mean, we've seen, unfortunately, cases of people from different faith communities infecting members of the congregation, husbands infecting wives, boyfriends and girlfriends. So obviously getting tested on a regular basis is helpful so that you can manage your HIV status and know when the last time you were negative, and so you always have a baseline. Also, always talking to your partner. So if you or your partner has a dalliance outside of the relationship, the other will hopefully be open enough to be able to say, hey, we need to get tested or you might be at risk. And obviously, maybe considering abstinence before you have a commitment. If you don't have a commitment from someone, maybe it's time to be abstinent. Again, it's a value decision for people. I don't want to tell people what to do, but whatever is right for you But you should also know the risk that's associated. And the other thing I'd just say, too, is that latex condoms are always a good way to reduce the risk of not just HIV, but other STIs, other sexually transmitted infections, but they are not 100%. And so I wouldn't tell anyone or advocate for anyone to put all of their trust in a condom. And so I would say, one, get yourself informed, get yourself in the know about what infections are out there and are curable and not curable, and decide what is right for you based on the risk and how to prevent it, and decide, you know, with your partners on the type of risk that you are willing or not willing to take. Have the conversation. And if you get too embarrassed to have a conversation, then maybe you're not at a place to be ready to risk an infection.
I like your approach to that. It's about being responsible for yourself and not becoming a victim if in fact you do contract some type of a STD, STI. And so you said that the rise was also in gonorrhea and hep C. So those are preventable diseases if you take the proper precautions. And so what other advice would you give the men and the women that's listening tonight on steps or actions that they could take to be more proactive with their health and fitness, nutrition, social justice? What are some of the other areas that we can take in order to be more proactive?
Well, on June 4th at 7 p.m., we're going to be talking about on Twitter sexual health. And on right after that, on June 11th, we'll be talking about mental health. And I'm a big believer that if you can also have surround yourself and keep your personal space as calm and as stabilized as possible, your state of mind has a lot to do with your physical, what happens to you physically. You know, being stressed, you talked about stress earlier, being stressed or overexerted or having a lot of pressure placed upon you, extraordinary pressure can exacerbate, you know, illnesses, the stomach illnesses. It can really, people have been known to break out in hives or to have physical reactions to stress. And in some cases, you know, eliminating or reducing the stresses in your life can also bring about peace and bring about, you know, relief of headaches. A lot of people suffer from tension headaches. I also think that when you think about what in your life, because we all have to live life with a certain amount of stress, stress just getting up to go to work or stress just dealing with traffic. But there's also the what I call the drama, right, the drama stress. You know, how can you address the way that you respond to it? If you can't eliminate it or can't greatly reduce it, how can you yourself decide how I'm going to respond to it so it doesn't really undermine me for the rest of the day and debilitate me for the rest of the week? So if I know that I have a stressful job, but I can't change my job, what can I do so that I can, for those 8 hours I'm at work, I can deal with it enough? So maybe that's meditation during the day, that's meditation before and after, or that's, you know, listening to jazz music when you're on your break. You know, if I have really just a bad neighborhood to where there's always kind of fighting outside or something, you know, what can I do to where I can feel safe and manage the stressors around me? And obviously in your relationships with people, how do you respond to other people? And so that's one I really encourage people, all of us, we need to do that on a regular basis. And then right after that, we're also going to be talking about on June 18th, fitness and nutrition. And this is a big one, because what you put in your body really does determine the type of day, week, year you're going to have. So if you put good stuff in your body, you're going to have good stuff to come out of it. If you put junk in your body, that's going to come out too. You're going to feel that too. Because a person who eats, you know, Doritos all and chocolate all day, they may enjoy it, but it's not going to give you the natural energy. It's not going to give you the disposition. It certainly is not going to give you the strength and the ease to sleep and to rest and relaxation that you need to really live your life. But if you do have a balanced diet that does have some fruits and vegetables and some, you know, some snacks, we all need a little bit of treat. If you're not getting enough water, you know, drinking enough H2O, because your body needs water, not just to regulate weight, but also to regulate the waste. Because if you find yourself you're not able to go to the restroom with ease, you may not be hydrated enough. And I'll say this this one tip. I was at a conference a year or so ago, and I have a nurse practitioner share this with me, and it always stayed with me, is that when we go to the restroom that and you're doing, as I just say, the number two, it should never have an odor. And if it does have an odor, your insides may really need to be cleaned. Your colon may be blocked. And so if you're struggling in the restroom when you go, if there's an odor, if there's an issue with gas, those are things that may speak to not having enough hydration. And I'm not talking about coffee, soda, milk, or any of that. I'm talking about water. And it may speak to just having a blocked colon. You may need to have more green leafy vegetables to clean your colon. Salads, the cucumber, celery, those sorts of things. So the fitness and the nutrition piece is so important, but so is the fitness part. You know, we're in the warm weather months right now, and taking time out to really build into your schedule time to get some physical activity, even if it's just a minimum of 30 minutes a day, 4 or 5 times a week, will give you back so much. It will be immeasurable. Our bodies are kind of like our cars, and so if we don't use them, they won't work right when we want to use them. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now, that was the point I was making earlier about my dad, you know, who's 94, and he does exercise at least once every day. You know, that's the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning, and then he probably gets another couple of exercise rounds in throughout the day. We have a caller, Walker. Let's see. Caller, area code 404-374. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question, please. Caller
404-374. Oh, that's me. I'm calling from Atlanta. I think I must be the wrong number.
So you did not have a question or a comment?
No, because after I forgot.
No problem, no problem. We'll just keep moving along. Thank you for calling, being on the call with. So, Walker, how can people support your efforts with the Black Men's Health Chatter Twitter chat series?
Sure. Our Black Men's Health Chat is, this is the second year we're doing it. We're really excited about it. Besides, you know, reaching over 100,000 people last year, we also brought together about a dozen nonprofit organizations around the country. This year, we're doing about the same, about a dozen nonprofits, East, West Coast, South, North, Midwest, all together chatting around these topics each Thursday for 2 hours, 7 to 9 Eastern. And what we're really looking for people to do is to look for our hashtag, Black Men's Health, and to follow us on Twitter at Black Men USA, BLKMENUSA, and to participate and join the conversation, because we really are in it to mobilize brothers and sisters and all our allies in Black Men's Health. So right now we're focused on the month of June and raising awareness on Twitter chats and having conversations offline, but we also want to raise awareness that we also need services in our own communities. And I mentioned before earlier that in Metro Atlanta, there's not a lot of health service organizations that with a mission that focuses on African-American males. And so for a metro area as densely populated with African-Americans as here in Atlanta, that's really unheard of, you know. And so we need services and organizations that will serve our community, that reflect our community. And so one of the things we're asking people is to think about a charitable donation. Think about volunteering your time. We're always looking for volunteers. The Health Institute for Men is looking for space, so we're going to start a capital campaign pretty soon. Our building is being sold, and so we're going to have to move into a new space soon. And so we're always looking for people who are willing to donate time, money, or both, because it does make a difference when it comes down to our communities and are we going to look outside for help and support, or are we going to look inside our community for help and support?
That's really important, and I think even more important, well, I won't say more important, but also as important is the point that you've been making most of the night, and that is being responsible for yourself and learning and taking action to improve your health or to prevent yourself from experiencing any ill health. And so that is a very positive statement or action that people can take, is being completely involved in their own health and getting to learn and getting to know so much more. And so we will support your Twitter to town hall meeting. I have to make sure I get all of it. I guess I'm being like my dad right now, right? But every Thursday in June, starting the 4th, is going to be from 2 hours. And so you'll have sessions on mental health, fitness and nutrition, sexual health, and social justice. And those are very important topics for men to be involved in their own health. Because there's not a lot of positive energy that is given to the men, and so I want to be one of your cheerleaders and one of your supporters in this, because it's so important that we understand, as you alluded to earlier in the conversation, the systematic approach to the destruction of the family. And one of our earlier shows, we talked about the Willie Lynch letter and the Willie Lynch syndrome. And so it's all a part of that. And once we can learn how this is all affecting us, then we can turn the tide on what we're experiencing in our lives on a day-to-day basis and how it affects our families, our children, and our communities. And starting with the men's health, or making sure that we do the segment on the men's health and support you, Walker, and with the Healthy Black Men and the project that you're running in the month of June, I wholeheartedly support you and just pray for the best that happens, and that there's 300,000 men that are made aware of the information that you have to share. Do you have any parting thoughts or anything else that you would like to share with the group?
Well, I just want to say, again, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. It's a pleasure. I love what you're doing. And, again, to follow us, you can follow us at Black Men USA on Twitter, BLKMENUSA. Or myself directly, Mr. Walker Tisdale, also on Twitter. And if you see us in the community, you know, stop by and say hello. We need to work together, because we're in this together. You can't wait for the government to come and save your life.
Very well said. So from our very esteemed guest, Mr. Walker Tisdale of Healthy Black Men, we thank you for listening in. We have one additional caller. Let's see. Area code 817-657. State your name and where you're calling from and your comment or question, please.
Danny, it's your brother William, and I just wanted to thank Dr. Tisdale for his efforts and his work. It's greatly, greatly needed. One thing that struck my mind as I was listening is the gap that's very apparent to me, and the wealth of information that he provided, the gap between that and the community in terms of the leadership that he represents, having that quality of information and the people that need it most, especially the African-American men, finding a way to close that gap and the information that's available, the knowledge that's available, because knowledge does empower you. It equips you to make better and better and better decisions. I know my dad, probably the reason why he's still living at 94 and still doing relatively well is because I took it upon himself to make a lot of independent decisions. And he had his own way of doing things and has his own way of doing things and plots his own course and is very stubborn. Sometimes it gives us a problem as his children trying to help him out because he's so determined to do things the way he wants to do them. But I think that was one of the reasons why he has outlived a whole lot of his relatives and friends and neighbors and still has relatively good health. And I think he's done the best that he was able to do with the information that he had available. But he had a mindset. He had a mindset to take whatever he had and do the best with it. And I think that kind of a mindset, as we help instill that more and more in the African-American families, and in particular in the men, you know, to take whatever information you have available and use it in your life. And then if we can close that gap somehow, you know, maybe that's part of our vision for the future, to close the gap between those who have information in our community and those who don't have quality information, so that better decisions can be made for our families. And I just want to share that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Walker, did you want to comment on that any? Or
I just want to say I appreciate the we also needed to recognize seniors like your father who are living such long lives, and to find out how we can emulate that, because they had possessed a wisdom that you cannot buy in a store, right? And so we need to really pay more homage to our elders and to transfer those lessons down to the generation, because if you think about, if you are in your 80s and 90s today, you have lived through Jim Crow, segregation, affirmative action, civil rights. And so you have lived through something in this country. And so you hold the key for the next generation. And so we need to really look at that as well.
You're absolutely
very
right.
Well stated. Yeah.
You know,
very
what,
well
stated. That mindset, and I think that's what we're talking about now, that mindset, that wisdom and that mindset that needs to be transferred somehow. And then just knowing how that those thought patterns that have enabled us to survive, especially our elders, and enabled them to survive and thrive even in a very kind of an environment, going through all of those stages that you alluded to. And then to be selective in what we want to bring forward, looking at those thoughts that we want to incorporate and to our thinking patterns today, and then developing habits around that and creating the type of lifestyle that we choose for ourselves and our families and our communities. It's so important when we're talking about mental health, our physical health, our social health, our spiritual health, those things are so very important. So, again, I applaud what you're doing. And I think we have a unique opportunity in Atlanta. I've lived in different parts of the country, and Atlanta is unique in the social environment, and we have a unique opportunity to really make it work for us, you know, where we can disseminate information probably more effectively here, probably in any other area in throughout the United States. But just I went to the Jazz Festival. Never saw that many people in one location, that many African Americans in one location. You know, 15,000 people in one place, whatever they were there for. You know, but we have a lot of things that we can utilize in the Atlanta area. In terms of the quality of life, the amount of money that in African American hands, the leadership positions that we're in, a lot going for us. So utilizing that to accomplish the things that are needed, I think, is vitally important. And so, again, thank you very much, Fanny, for your work, and Dr. Tisdale, thank you as well.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
And again, we are talking about men's health, the importance of taking responsibility, of learning as much as you can, and making those things that you're learning, how it impacts your life, to be full with the knowledge that you can get by listening to programs like this, by being involved with Healthy Black Men, with Walker Tisdale, and what he's doing during the month of June, with the Twitter to Town Hall online meetings. And so we thank you once again. We know that as we reach out and touch and share the information, that we are serving you the best that we can with the expertise like Mr. Walker Tisdale. And we certainly appreciate you, Walker, for all the tremendous work that you're doing and have been doing and will continue to do. So thank you for joining me today on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, where we talk candidly about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, and holistic wellness. When we love ourselves, we cause no harm or danger to anyone, especially ourselves, and we are at peace and harmony with all of humanity. This is your host, Sandy Rogers. May you forever live in divine wellness.
Fight, love.